guess a stirring. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before, but you just feel stirred up about something. And for me, it was to do with fasting. And I don't know if you're like me, but I would much prefer to feast than fast. And so I was kind of like going, oh, I'm feeling this stirring, like God wants me to fast, but not really sure how I could do that. Because I'm training for the Navy at the moment, it's probably not a good idea for me to be going without food. I'm putting my body through so much stress. And I just, I guess, put it on the shelf and thought, yeah, fasting is a good idea, Holy Spirit. Thanks for, you know, putting that on my heart, but just in the too hard basket. And then a month or so ago, a friend emails me. She's a friend from Christchurch who's incredibly prophetic, and she says, oh, I had a dream about you last night and you were on a fast and you you posted it on Facebook and said, thanks everyone for helping me through this fast. And I was like, okay, God, you're not going to let me get away with this, are you? And so I've been praying about that. And then I think it was a week or so ago, I was trying to prepare a sermon for church and nothing was happening. I was really, really struggling to pull anything together. And I was talking to Dean at youth group about it and he goes, well, why don't you just preach on fasting? And I was just like, oh man. No, I'm not going to do that, Dean. And so so he started like just getting all this revelation about fasting and I ignored him. So... but this just over this last week or so, Steve and I have been talking about, well, what would it look like if we did do a fast? And so I was really excited when Steve's just like, yeah, let's do it as a church. I'm like, yay, then it's not about me. You guys all get to do it with me, so that's really exciting, eh? No one's excited. we talked to Chris Huff, who heads up our prayer and intercession for our church, and he felt a real witness in the spirit about it, and he's been on an incredible journey already this year of fasting. And so really what we want to do this morning is just talk to you about why on earth would we do a fast. And then we're going to hear from Chris, who's just going to share his story. And then Dean's going to share some scripture that he has been pondering over. And then we're going to talk about how that's going to look as a church. So the other word that God gave our church, I believe, at the beginning of this year was the word shift. And some of you were here when I shared about that there was a prophetic word for our church. But the thing with shifting is that our family has learnt, because we're right in the middle of shifting, I guess, because we've moved out of our house, we're living with the Gilbert family, and we're about to shift into another house, but we don't know when, is there's an internal work that needs to happen when you shift house. You actually have to get your mind in the right place to shift. That there's motions that go on when you're shifting. But there's also an external thing that happens when you shift, and that is that there's a cost involved. There's a financial cost to shifting. There is manpower that needs to, sometimes you need to hire people, sometimes you need to ask your friends if they're willing to come and help you. That sometimes there's a culling of things that were good for the old house but are not going to work in the new house. And there's letting go. And there's time. It takes time to shift. And so I believe as we move into this season, if we're going to actually be entrusted with this prophetic word, if we're actually going to believe God for it in faith that it's going to happen, that there's going to be a cost on our end. That we have to go, okay, God, what are you requiring of me to see that shift actually happen? Because we could get a prophetic word over our church and go, that's really nice, thanks for that prophetic word, and then just sit there and wait for God to do it. But actually heaven wants to partner with us to see that shift happen. And there's going to be an internal work in each of your lives, and you will shift. You will see something happen. But sometimes there's a cost. And so I think fasting is a part of that, going, God, we're serious. We are really serious about seeing you shift. Shift people individually from their stuck places to a place of freedom, but shift us as a church, where we're seeing people's lives come into the kingdom of God and being radically set free, that there will be a shift that takes place. So, Tito, if you could chuck that slide up. We are about to go into a 21-day fast, and that's not necessarily food, without food for 21 days. We'll talk about the practical side of that, but we're believing that this is gonna shift something as we deny ourselves and tell God that we really want more of him. So, Chris, do you want to share your story with us?
Yeah, thanks, Helen. And yeah, this is my story. You know, I'm aware we're all different. Hey, we've got all different types in the fellowship. It's my story of what I found the last year. And the last year has got to be the most dramatic year of my life. I've just such a profound change deep inside my spirit. It's just been stunning. And so I'll share what I found, and I'm going to refer to some notes if you don't mind, because Helen said keep it to 12 minutes. That's difficult for me. I want to make some points, so I'm going to refer to some notes so I don't forget anything. But when I was thinking about it, I thought, what's the thing of fasting? Well, the fasting is on your own. But what I found, particularly in the last year, is it's not on your own. It's almost like there's fruit to share with everybody else. There's internal changes that come about, and then we're sharing it. It's almost like a banquet, sharing what God is doing in our life with so many of us. We've been sharing that very thing. And then I thought of this thing, the whole thing of, well, feasting and sharing fruit, what's it all leading to? It's like a harvest. And then I thought, well, that's a weird thought. And I thought, no, what's the harvest? The harvest is the kingdom of God. And when bringing into the kingdom of God as we all change, then we'll see everything come about. We'll see the sick healed. We'll see everything. We'll see salvations. And I've come to realize, particularly this last year, that this whole thing of fasting is not us trying to make God do something, but allowing God to do something in ourselves because we're being serious with him. And I tell you, I'm just not the same person spiritually today as I was around about a year ago when we faster, and Carol was shaking her head there. She knows. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, when I got into fasting, it was in the great old AOG days at the town hall, and it was just fantastic, great days. I was an ex-football hooligan, new Christian, into the charismatic revival. They were going to have all this fantastic worship. We got into that, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, first of every month, we'd fast. I did it from food completely. Then we'd come to meeting, 1,500 of us very often have been doing this, and we had the most staggering prayer meetings. It was just stunning. And I've been at the COP at Liverpool, and I thought nothing could compete with that. But I tell you, those nights were just amazing. And I can remember one night where it just looked like a battleground. It was a real spiritual battle. There was bodies laying over the place. There was people standing up. There was people shouting. And I looked up there, and honestly, I could see these demons there. Very indistinct, but I thought, wow, this is so fantastic. And it was like a new life to me. It was a new life to me. And that's the learning that I got from that first section, was this spiritual life is really real. It's not just some philosophy. It's here. It's real, really real. It went as the charismatic revival did. I always meant to get back into fasting. Never did for about 30 years, quite literally, until two manifest presences ago, and that was just amazing how God moved. Jerry will remember that, particularly one Friday morning. God moved so incredibly. And that's why I loved the idea of 40 hours of prayer and fasting. And so we gathered here. Steve had laid, if you remember, a lot of documents on the back. I never realized the prophecies over this country. It's just stunning, absolutely stunning. And then towards the end, we all went out to the salient points around Devonport and we just declared the word of God over. It was just so, so incredible, I thought. And the thing that I learned from that was the power of fasting with the family of God. It's got to be with the family of God. The power of us declaring, it was so strong, so incredibly strong. And then the anticipation that there really is a new move of God coming. And then we went on to our 24 hours of fasting. And the Lord said to me as we came in, you don't need to gabble. You don't even need to pray. Just seek my presence. And that's all I did. It went on for about 14 of those 24 hours. I was just sitting largely over there, just in the presence of God. And then towards the end, I can remember now it was 5:15 on the Saturday. Steve and Helen said that we should change from praying in relationship to Azusa that we were doing into the fact that we ought to now be praying for the church. And suddenly God just descended. And I've never experienced anything like it in my life. I was laying on the floor over there and I was just saying to God, what on earth is happening? Now, not in any scared way, but what on earth is that? It was just awe-inspiring. And I can remember, I don't know what it was, a vision, whether it was a mental picture, it doesn't matter. But it was like the Holy Spirit was looking over me saying, you're being rewired. And I tell you, I was rewired. There was no question about it. I went up Mount Vickers, I've been doing for a long time now, that morning. God spoke to me about the revival being birthed down here in the church. I spoke to Helen about it round at Dean and Jerry's place that lunchtime when we were watching Azusa, and Helen had just about the same dream that I had had in this mental picture up there about revival being birthed in our church. And then earlier on the main thing I should say from that was just the awesome power of God is that if we are hungry, if we are really, really seeking God, then he's going to manifest in the most incredible way. Then I got into the 40 days of fasting. That I went down to one meal a day, and I was sure I knew what I should be fasting about. And what happened was that the Lord again said, you don't need worship music, you don't need prayer, you don't need to intercede, just seek my face. And that's what I did. And it went on for hours and hours, and it went on for days, just in the presence of God. It was stunning. And the Lord said that you don't need to do anything. You're being prepared for the future work that you're called for. And you will not be able to do that work unless I do a work inside you. And honestly, after 40 days, it was just a gain. That 24 hours, I wasn't the same person. And after this one, I wasn't the same person. And what really struck me, I just let me read it out. The main thing I learned from that was we do not fast to persuade God to do something, but to show him we're serious for changing ourselves so we can meet the calling on his purpose, and that's extending the kingdom of God. And I knew that. But now I'm convinced the only reason I live is to extend the kingdom of God. And to me, it's just stunning. I kind of knew it. I was saved, but I didn't know it. And I've just never experienced God in the way that I have. And he will move in such powerful ways on us if we seek him sincerely as the main purpose for our life. And I'll just finish off by saying that I'm getting all emotional, but that's how I feel. I've fasted for 10 days for the last royal meeting. And what has come from that has just been stunning, absolutely incredibly stunning. I won't go into the details of it, but it's also that fasting isn't the be all and end all. It's a process. You know, Carol has been praying for me for a year now, and Zachariah as well, to be filled more, go deeper with the Spirit, and she's ahead of me on it, but it's just happened. And I've just been so stunned, and that's the only word I can use, with what has happened the last few weeks, that I just think, my God, that is the only purpose that we're here for. And I think, Helen, that's all I need to share. I tell you, I could go on and on and on, but I'm just been transformed. And it's not just fasting. It isn't just the fasting. It's what we've been praying for. in this case for a year, all sort of stuff that's happening of late. We've been praying for it for a year. But I wouldn't be here to say I'm a changed person today unless I'd done the fasting.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. So Dean's just going to share to some scriptures around the why we're called to fast as followers of Christ.
I'm like Chris. Fasting, the purpose to me is to know the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so I was reading Matthew 4, and God was just speaking to me so much. And so I wanna probably put me into the story. But every time I put myself in the story, I want you to put yourself as me. Does that kind of make sense? Like when God speaks to us, He speaks to me, and if He's speaking to me, He's speaking to you. So, yes. So it kind of starts. I'll backtrack just really quickly because I know I've got very little time. John the Baptist has come in. He's like the priest. He's actually the ordained priest when there's false priests looking after Israel. And he's saying the kingdom of God is about to come. It is at hand. And he sees Jesus coming, and Jesus gets baptized, so he's officially ordained essentially as a priest. And the heavens open up, right? So the heavens open up, and God speaks out, and He says, this is My beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Another version says, my Son, and all the prophets, I was waiting for You, that You might come, and I might rest in You, for You are My rest. You're My firstborn, who reigns forever. So another scripture says that His delight was in Him. Yeah, you are My delight. So let's put me into it. So the Father's waiting for me to be revealed, right? That I will be His delight. That you will be His delight. Anyway, so now you've got Jesus. So I'll try to quickly zip through some scriptures, and I'm not sure whether we'll unpack it as we go or anyway. So Jesus led into the wilderness in order to reveal His strength against the accuser. Okay. And after fasting for 40 days, He's extremely weak. So He's really strong, He's led in, now He's really weak and famished. And then the tempter comes along and entices Him. I just think that that sometimes fasting can make you weak physically, but strong spiritually. And it's then when the tempter comes along, when we're weak, and this is like God's delight, is that when you're feeling weak, that actually you're victorious, right? When we're weak, we're victorious. And so Satan says to Jesus, how can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? How can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry, right? So our flesh says, how can I be a Son of God and not have everything I want? How can I be the Son of God and not have everything I want? There's a bit of contradiction, And and Jesus responds, that life is found in His loving words to us, not in what we want, because I want a lot of things. You know, I might want a house. How can I be a prince? How can I be the son of God and not have my own home? But then Jesus flips it and says, you know, look, true life is found in every word which is constantly goes forth from God's mouth. Man, satisfaction is found when we have life within, right? Just so, again, the temptation to me is God was just flipping things around in my own mind. And the second temptation, if you're really one of his sons, now, how's the accuser put it? If you're really God's son, jump and the angels will catch you, for it is written in the scriptures. Man, I just love this. There's this play going on here. Okay, if you're really one of his sons, test him. That's what Satan's saying. If you're really one of his sons, test God, test him. Let's just put him to the test. But we live by faith, right? So we actually should be living trusting in him, not playing games, trusting in him, and not testing him. Jesus is being tested in his authority and his ability to listen to God and not his own ego. A son doesn't need to prove his power and authority to others. He didn't need to prove himself to Satan. He didn't need to. Yes, he could have stepped off theoretically, and God would have. But he's not. We're not called to test God. We are sons of God. I am a son of God. Right? I've got to walk in the authority that's given me. As a prince of God, and if I'm a prince of God, if you're a prince of God, we're not testing our king. We know that we've got a father that just loves us, that's backing us, that's supporting us. And our job is to step out as his representative. Does that kind of make sense? So third temptation. So all of these kings, so he goes to him, hey, all of these kingdoms I will give to you, the accuser says, if you'll only kneel down and bow before me and worship me. All of these kingdoms I will give to you, the accuser says, if you'll only bow down and worship me. And the last test, I think, is let's flip that into our mindset, and that is, Satan says to you, you're going to miss out on all the wealth and the power and all the cool things that the world has to offer, right, if you keep going down that track. You're going to miss out on, I don't know what we define as the cool things of the world, you know, whether that, but you're going to miss out on that. It's all smokes and mirrors if you keep following and pursuing and seeking the kingdom of God. If you're seeking me, right? So Satan's playing a game there. You know, I'll give you everything if you just worship me. And I think we get blindsided thinking that if I get into Jesus, I won't have time, if you love your fishing, to go fishing. I won't have time to go to the pub. I won't be able to get drunk. I won't be able to have something going on in the dark that shouldn't be going on. I'll miss out on all these cool things. Is this making sense? Yeah. Okay. At once the accuser left him, and the angels suddenly gathered around Jesus to minister to his needs. So there's this progression here. So Jesus has fasted, He's heard the Father acknowledge that He's His Son. So He's put some. He's tested Him now in His motives, in our motives, in different areas. And Jesus, you know, in this last one, He's going, well, I'm focusing on my relationship with You, not all the good things or the perception of good things of the world. And at once, the accuser leaves Him, and the angels suddenly gather around Jesus to minister His needs. I just love this, but because when we get our priorities right, putting the King of Glory before earthly wants and needs, then the power of His abundant grace is going to envelop us, right? So if we put that right, it just says it there, you know, then the angels suddenly gathered around and ministered to His needs, to my needs. When I get everything right, then He's sending angels to minister to my needs. I think, man, that's cool, right? So there's just this lovely, you know, I haven't read it like this before, but that's exactly what it's saying. The Father will surround us, ministering to our needs. Man, I love it. I love it. So then Jesus, he heard about John the Immerser being put in prison. So he shoots off. He goes to Capernaum by the Lake of Galilee. And it says that he did this to make the prophecy of Isaiah come true. Now, again, I just want to major on this. There's a book that's written. It's got my name in it. Right? There's a book that's written before the foundation of the earth that's going to be opened up on Judgment Day. Not to decide whether I go to heaven or not. I'm in heaven, right? There's a book that's written about me that's written about what God intended for me to do, for you guys to do. So when we put this in order, it says now Jesus did this to make the prophecy of Isaiah be fulfilled. When we get our sequence of our heart in the right place, then actually we start to fulfill the book that is written about little old Dino. You know, how cool's that? You know, imagine standing before the Lord in Judgment Day, standing before Him, and He opens the book and He looks at you. He looks at you in the eye and goes, oh, you've done what I wrote about you. Wow. Oh, come on in, man. Come on in and let's celebrate. You know, and I'm going to give you not just scrape into heaven. There's kingdoms, there's positions, there's things to do. And we can never change. Like, if we don't do things now, how can He entrust us later on? What have I got down here? So after Jesus had denied His earthly desires, choosing the Father's love over the lusts of the world and the Father's life of ministry to Him, He immediately fulfilled what the Scriptures said about the Messiah. The question is, will we fulfill what the Lord has written in His book, His purpose, and His life for our good pleasure? Do you want the joy of the Lord to flood your heart, His wraparound presence to be your guiding light? Do you want to shine like a beacon on a hill, revealing your Father's love to everyone around you? Then, man, it just keeps unpacking. I'm sorry, guys. It's so then he finishes. So this chapter finishes with a line. Keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible. Keep turning from your sins. Turning back to God, for kingdom's realm is now accessible. We're called to be holy. So this kingdom of God is the kingdom of God is and His righteousness, right? They don't actually get separated. And I was crying out, this is how I got this, God spoke to me about this, because I was crying out going, man, I want to get closer. I want to feel Your presence. I want to hear You speak to me. I just want to hear You speak to me. And I listened to some some stuff where Todd White was, you know, he's going into restaurants and going to different spots and places, and God's just saying to him, oh, this guy over here's got a sore shoulder, this person here's got a sore knee, just pray for them, reveal your love, you know, and God just steps up. I say, how come, Lord, how come I don't hear your voice that clearly? And he sort of basically rebuked me and reminded me we're called to be holy. Now, that doesn't mean that we live in judgment and rules, but actually holy means if I'm driving my car, I actually don't speed. Because when I speed, the Holy Spirit says, well, you're actually breaking the law. And I go, oh, no, don't worry about that. Everybody does that. Everybody does that, so that's cool. So I'm just numbing down the Spirit speaking to me. And when I'm at work and someone writes, I've phoned up a guy and I'd spoken to a branch manager. This guy phoned me up and said, how dare you talk to this branch manager? I'm the boss. You don't talk to them, you talk to me. I'm thinking you're a jerk. And so I tell a couple of people, oh, this guy, man, what a jerk this guy, what a dick. But the Spirit is speaking to me and saying, well, actually, if you think someone, you don't, this guy has got a power issue, but it's not my job to badmouth him. My job's to pray for him. Right? So the Spirit says, pray for him. Don't gossip about him. That's what the Spirit says. Now, when I start forgetting that, and my ego, like, you know, I'll give you all these things. You've got authority and power. My ego gets involved, so I want myself to look good. So I said, this guy's a jerk, because I must be a better boss in the eyes of the people around me. We're not called to do that. We're called to pray and be Christ-like. And when we start to listen to the Spirit of God in us, we start to love the apparent jerks that actually just don't know. They just don't know that they were made to be sons of God. They were made to know who they were. We're made to know that we carry authority, that we walk as princes, that we live our life with purpose because we know who our dad is. And I'm prattling on for way too long. Anyway, it's a good bit of scripture. It's awesome. Yep, sorry.
Thanks, Dean. I think that the hard part about fasting is that it is hard. It really is hard because God's wired us to need food, to desire things, but I think that the powerful thing that happens and what Chris has been sharing is that when we fast, because Jesus actually said this to his disciples, when you fast, he didn't say if you guys want to fast, when you pray, that'd be cool. He said when you fast. So this actually should be a normal part of our Christian walk. Something happens on the inside of us when we actually deny our flesh. We surrender something that is really important to us, that we see as something that fills a need in us. We say no to that because actually the higher desire is Him. Something happens. And I know that if you choose to do this fast with us as a family, and say, God, I'm going to deny this thing in my life for 21 days because my higher goal is you. I want to be that shining light. That there's the other thing that's going to happen is that a fast connects you with God's heart, so you're aligned with heaven's thinking, but also it breaks through something in the natural. So we are going to see something break open. You know, when Esther had to see her people set free, that they were going to be executed, a whole nation of people she said, please, will you fast with me for 3 days? And so together, her people, her family, together they fasted to say, God, we want to surrender what our natural desires are to see you move. It was for a whole nation to be set free. And there's people that are lost in our community that don't have the hope that you carry, and we want to see them come into freedom. And that's our heart. That's why we want to go on a fast together as a family. So you internally can have an amazing connection with God and what heaven's up to, but also to see people set free, that we would have an impact on our community. So how's that going to look? Maybe if we could have the next slide up, Tito, that'd be cool. So here's some just different ideas of how you could fast. If you want to do 21 days without food, that's great, but maybe check with your doctor first. There is a Daniel fast. For some of you who might not have heard about that, there's a website. It's hard to see on there, sorry. But if you just Google Daniel fast, it gives you some really, really good ways. It's basically fruit and veggies and water for 21 days. So it worked for Daniel. Shush. And yeah, no meat for 21 days. So that might be an option for some of you to do that. No sugar, no TV, movies, social media. Chris did one meal a day. No coffee. What? I just want to challenge you to just ask the Holy Spirit, go, okay, what is it for me, Holy Spirit, that's kind of like something I crave or desire that I could surrender to you for 21 days? Maybe for you it's going, I'm not going to gossip in my workplace for 21 days. I'm going to honour my boss. I'm going to only say words of life and positive things over my wife or my husband for 21 days. It's too hard? Okay. Maybe that's your one, Andrew. Right. So, and what we're going to do as a church is, if you come back to us this week, we'll send out an email. We would love you to sign up for it. And anyone that signs up, we are going to print out a devotional book or send you a devotion online where each day we are praying the same things together. So we're actually, even if we're not together in our life groups or at church, we're praying over the same thing. So we'll send you a scripture, we'll send you a devotional to read through, and that will be, and then we'll send out text messages, and that's just going to help us all be on the same page. And we will have maybe some nights set up where the church is open, and if you want to come and pray with other people and just spend time in His presence, we can do that. But it's going to be an amazing journey, and I'm really excited to see what God does in our family as we join together to do this. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you led by example before you started your ministry.